life. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, as we open your word, we ask that it may be the name of Jesus that will be praised and glorified this morning. We thank you for so many blessings, and we ask that your Spirit may talk to us once again, because we ask it in your name. Amen. Stories. Stories that have made an impression not only in us adults, but in young people. Stories that have been with us for quite some time. I can think of the story of Noah's Ark. That's a story that I think everybody here knows about. I can think of the story of baby Moses. I can think of the story of baby Jesus. I can think of the story of David and Goliath. And among the minor prophets, probably the least read books in the Bible, you find the story of Jonah. Now, everybody knows the story of Jonah, right? I think all of us have heard it either in kindergarten, primary, early teens. A story that has made an impression in us as we think of what Jonah went through. Now, who was Jonah? Anybody here can tell me? He was what? A prophet. Very good. And Emma raised her hand really quickly, but Dad won this time. A prophet. A man we would all expect would do God's will, right? In fact, the book of Jonah begins by saying, the word of the Lord came to who? To Jonah. And that way begins all the books that speak to us about prophets. And Jonah was a prophet. In fact, he was the son of Amittai. His name means dove. You wouldn't expect somebody to receive a name like that, right? Dove. There's another name, Caleb. That means, anybody know? Dog. Yes. And why would people get names of animals? I think that the dove was used in the sacrificial system. But it's also found in the story of Noah's ark. And this dove brought what to the ark? A leaf, an olive leaf. It brought back good news. And I think Jonah was called to be a prophet of God to bring good news. Now this time, God was asking something very special of Jonah. And this is found in verse 2. It says, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Jonah, I have a mission for you. I need you to do something very special. I need you to go to that great city, Nineveh, and tell them that their wickedness, their sins have come up before me. Something a prophet should do, don't you think? Warn people. Let them know what's going on. But Jonah, verse 3, rose up to go to Nineveh, right? No. He rose up to flee to Tarshish. Nineveh is over here. Tarshish is over here. Noah's in the middle. What will he do? He's the prophet. He's the man of God. Well, Jonah does the unexpected. He turns his back on Nineveh and runs toward Joppa. Why? Who were the inhabitants of Nineveh? Does anybody know? the Assyrians. Yes, those evil people, the ones who were idolatrous, the ones who had destroyed Samaria, the ones who had taken children and just shattered them all over, and those who we have to pay tribute to. I have a slide that tells us a little bit of their power and strength. You see, all that is in yellow. It says right there, it's part of the Assyrian Empire. All the way down to Egypt in the 7th century, they had extended their borders, not only up in Assyria, where you see right in the middle, but it went down to Judah, Samaria, Egypt. It went up to Anatolia by Turkey. It went up to the Caucasus Mountains. It came down to this side where we have Iraq and Iran today. That was the Assyrian Empire, a powerful empire, an empire that had a house for the king in every province. You know how many provinces they had? Go to the next slide. 70 provinces. It was furnished for the king. It had staff for the king. It had food for the king. Whenever he decided to go to one of those provinces, he had a house. And his presence was felt everywhere in that empire. Yes, a powerful man. And Nineveh was the capital of that Assyrian Empire. And Jonah? Me? Said Jonah. Visit those people? God? I have a better plan. Have you been there? Done that? I've been there and done that. God, I have a better plan. And the book of Jonah describes to us how that better plan worked out for him. It says in verse 3 that he fled to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Can we flee from God's presence? Have we tried to hide like Adam and Eve? Well, he was doing the same thing. He went down to Joppa, which is today modern-day Haifa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. You'll see something happening. He tries to run away from God's presence, and the moment he starts to run away, he starts going down to Haifa, down to the ship. And as we know the story says, he went down into the sea, and even deeper, down into the stomach of a fish. Yes, run away from God. God could have said, you know, Jonah, this was your chance. I wanted to use you for a very special mission. Go to the Assyrians. But I'll have to find somebody else. Did God give up on Jonah? No. Verse 4 tells us that the Lord hurled. He threw a great wind on the sea. And there was a great storm on the sea so that the ship was about to break up. In Hebrew, this is the only place where something that is not living thinks that he's going to break up. The ship is said to have thought to break up. It was that bad of a storm. It was falling apart. And verse 5, the sailors became afraid. Now, if sailors become afraid on the sea, is this a big bad storm? This is a big bad storm. When sailors are afraid, this is big trouble. And every man cried to his God. Every man cried to his God. Now, we know about sailors. They're not very religious people, are they? No, they can do it on their own. They know what to do. Nobody tells them, but these sailors were crying out, each one to his own God. They threw the cargo, which was in the ship, into the sea to lighten it. Yes, that which was valuable for their ship, they threw it over. And we would expect the God of man to be out there with them praying, God, help us in this moment of problems and trials. But where was Jonah? It says Jonah had gone below into the hold of the ship to lay down and had fallen sound asleep. Where was Jonah? He was sleeping. Now, I want to think that Jonah was sleeping not because he was tired or afraid. I want to think, okay, Jonah got really, really dizzy. Have you gotten seasick? I took my grandma to the Catalina Islands, and this was about 5 years ago. She was visiting me. I was still not married. The grandma, come on over from Florida, and on Sunday, we were going to go to the Catalina Islands. I said, do you want to come with us? She said, yeah, I'll go with you. We sat in the back of the boat, and we were looking out into the sea. For the first 10 minutes, everything was perfect. After a while, the waves just kept getting bigger and bigger. We kept rocking in the boat, rocking. And we were just talking and talking, and all of a sudden, we became silent. We looked at each other, and we felt dizzy, and we were looking for a bag, and I was just looking down on the floor, and she was looking down too, and we thought, wow, when is this trip going to end? And it took another 20, 30 minutes before we got to the island, and by the time we got to the island, I said, Grandma, you ready to go see the island? She says, no, just leave me here. I'm going to rest. I took Grandma, put her down. She was there 4 hours, just lying down. And I want to think that Jonah probably was feeling really bad, seasick, going, oh, this was not a good idea. I'm on this boat now, and look at this. It's just so, so bad. And he went down to rest. But a captain approached him and said, verse 6, how is it that you are sleeping? Now it's the captain who tells him, get up. Get up, Jonah. Call on your God. A captain of a ship is telling God's man, get up and start what? Praying. Get up and start praying. Is there power in prayer, brothers and sisters? There's great power in prayer. Great power in prayer. In Steps to Christ, page 65, it's a chapter that talks about the privilege of prayer. Ellen G. White writes, our Heavenly Father awaits to bestow upon us the fullness of His blessing. It is our privilege to drink largely at the fountain of boundless love. What a wonder it is that we pray so little. God is ready and willing to hear the sincere prayer of the humblest of His children. And yet, there is much manifest reluctance on our part to make known our wants to God. What can the angels of heaven think of poor, helpless human beings who are subject to temptation when God's heart of infinite love yearns toward them, ready to give them more than they can ask or think, and yet they pray so little and have so little faith? The angels love to bow before God. They love to be near Him. They regard communion with God as their highest joy. And yet the children of earth, who need so much the help that God only can give, seem satisfied to walk without the light of His Spirit, the companionship of His presence. And Jonah was not the exception. A captain was telling him, call on your God. Perhaps your God will be concerned about us so that we will not perish. And it says that each man said to his mate, come, let us cast lots. Let us see whose fault this is. This is an unusual storm. This is something that is happening that is not normal. And we want to find out who's at fault. So they cast their lots. Everybody put in their name. You? Jonah? And verse 8 says, they said to him, tell us now, on whose account has this calamity struck us? What is your occupation? And where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? Has anybody asked you, what is your faith? Yes? And you were in a situation where you felt like, boy, if I tell them that I am a pastor, this is not going to be good news. Have you been in that situation? What is it that you do? What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? And he said to them, I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Powerful words. I fear the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. I fear the God of the Sabbath, who created the heavens and the earth. I am a Hebrew. I am an Adventist. And it says that then the men became extremely frightened. And the reason they became extremely frightened is because he told them that he was running away from that God. Wow, we have a problem here. What do we do now? They asked themselves. What should we do to you that the sea may become calm for us? For the sea was becoming increasingly stormy. And he plainly told them, says verse 12, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Just pick me up and throw me into the sea. How deep had Jonah fallen that at this point in his ministry, he probably thought, this is it. It's over. My mission, my life mission is over. I'm just going to ask these sailors to throw me over and the sea will be calm. Who was witnessing to who? I want to say that God has compassion of people. Amen? God has compassion of his people. Amen? But God has, I think, special compassion of his prophets and his ministers. Amen? He was calling Jonah to do a mission for him because God wanted to show Jonah that he also had something to tell him. So here Jonah just is picked up. But before they throw him into, did the sailors just say, hey, let's throw him over? They said, no, how can we do this? We can't just throw a man of God. God's going to get really mad. Let's try to row back to land. I know if we can just get him off the ship, everything's going to be okay. If we can just get him to shore. But God had other plans. So they just threw him overboard. It says, however, the men rowed desperately in verse 13 to return to the land, but they could not, for the sea was becoming even stormier against them. Then they called on the Lord and said, we earnestly pray, O Lord, do not let us perish on account of this man's life, and do not put innocent blood on us. For thou, O Lord, hast done, and thou hast pleased. God, we don't know who you are. We just found out through this man. Name's Jonah. I think he's running away from you. But God, don't let us do something that is against your will. Don't put innocent blood in our hands. God, we pray that what we're doing is the right thing. Yes, these were the sailors, the godless men, the idolatrous men. They were praying for the first time to the Lord of heaven, to the Lord that had created the earth and the sea. And they picked up Jonah, verse 15, threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. Then the men feared the Lord greatly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. Can you believe it? Even in that moment, God was using Jonah. Amen? God was using Jonah to tell a special message to these sailors. And the sailors understood, and they did what was God's will. But God had not forgotten Jonah. The Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and three nights. What we find in Jonah chapter 2 is a prayer, and I want you to listen to this prayer. It's not a long prayer, but I think it's a prayer of a sincere man of God, a prayer that maybe you and I have prayed, a prayer that we pray when we do something we're not supposed to. We find ourselves in trouble, and we look up and say, God, there's nobody here who can help me, but you can. And Jonah prayed, I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried for help from the depth of Sheol. Thou didst hear my voice, for thou hadst cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the current engulfed me, and all the waves, the breakers, the billows, passed over me. So I said, I have been expelled from thy sight. Nevertheless, I will look again toward thy holy temple. Water encompassed me to the very soul. The great deep engulfed me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I descended to the roots of the mountains, probably like a brick. The earth with its bars was around me forever. But thou hast brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to thee, into thy holy temple. Those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness, but I will sacrifice to thee with the voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord. Amen. Jonah's prayer, a prayer of desperation, a prayer of, God, I did it. I'm at fault. I deserve this. Yes. But God, be merciful and compassionate. God, be merciful and compassionate toward me. Verse 10, then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up unto the dry land. I find it interesting that here we have heathen who obey God. And now we even have a fish that obey God. And Jonah, God's messenger, just would not listen. But aren't you glad that we have a God of second chances? Amen? Chapter 3 says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying what? The same thing. Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I'm going to tell you. Nothing else, Jonah. Just what I'm going to tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city of 3 days' walk. Then Jonah began to go through the city 1 day's walk, and he cried out and said, yet 40 days... and Nineveh will be destroyed. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be destroyed. And yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be destroyed. That was his message. Short, clear. you would think people would look at him and go, you are crazy. You're crazy. This city, nobody's conquered it in 4 centuries. Has the biggest walls, the best army in the world, a population that will defend it to the end. And you're telling us that in 40 days, it will be destroyed? They could have said that. They could have said that. But God used a man, Jonah, to say such a short sermon. And the results, I'm sure even Jonah was astounded. Verse 5, the people of Nineveh believed in God. Amen? It wasn't Jonah's message. It wasn't his style. It was God's message. And they believed it. And they called a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. When the word reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne. He laid aside his robes from him. He covered himself with sackcloth and sat on the ashes. And he issued a proclamation and said, in Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let man, beast, herd, or flock taste a thing. Do not let them eat or drink water. But both man and beast must be covered with sackcloth. And let men call on God earnestly, that each may turn from his wicked ways and from the violence which is in his hand. Who knows? God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger so that we shall not perish. Wow. What a testimony. The king of Assyria saying this about the God of Jonah. Maybe God will have compassion and mercy on us. Yes, this is the God of the Old Testament. A gracious and compassionate God. Verse 10. When God saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked ways, then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring upon them. And he did not do it. He didn't. Did this make Jonah happy? Wow, I'm a successful evangelist. The whole city, all 120,000 people repented. He wasn't. He was upset. They're going to call me a false prophet. I told them 40 days. Well, I've been preaching only 3 days. I'm going to go up to a hill and I'm going to sit out there. I'm going to watch the fireworks. Do we have a loving and compassionate God, brothers and sisters? Do we have a God who cares about his people? Do we have a God who cares about the Ninevites? Do we have a God who cares about his pastors, his ministers, his elders, his deacons? Do we have a God who cares for them? God cared about Jonah. So he said, Jonah, why are you so angry? Well, he prayed to the Lord and said, Lord, I knew this is what was going to happen. I was still in my own country, and I said, I'm going to flee to Tarshish, for I know that thou art a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity. This was the covenant that God had made with his people, with Moses. When Moses asked God, who are you? This is what God answered him. I am a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness. When Micah went out to preach, he said the same thing about God. God is a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness. When Joel went out to preach, what did he preach about? God is a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness. So God let a little plant grow right next to Jonah while he was there. And this little plant grew and covered his head, and it says in the text that he was extremely happy. Are you happy today? Are you blessed with what you have? I'm happy, I'm blessed. But what happens when God takes that from us? What happened to Jonah when God all of a sudden called now not a fish, but he called a little worm? Even worms obey God. Amen? Wow. That little worm went and hit the root, withered the plant. The sun hit him right on the head. He became extremely upset. So upset that he said, God, pray it again. I need you to just take my life away. Death is better at this moment to me than life. Death, Jonah? Are you sure? Jonah, do you have compassion for a plant that grows today, dies tomorrow? Jonah, should I not have compassion on Nineveh, a great city that has 120,000 people who can't discern from their right hand to their left hand, who cannot discern what is right and what is wrong, and all the animals? Should I not have compassion on them? I don't know about you. I don't know where you are at this moment. I don't know if, like Jonah, you feel like, wow, it's been going from bad to worse. I don't know if you feel like life is just taking you on this roller coaster ride, but this time it's all going down. I want to tell you, God has compassion also for your situation. He does. He had it for the sailors. He had it for the Ninevites. He had it for Jonah as well. Or you might feel like, wow, this time I really messed up. I committed a sin that nobody will forgive me. I want to tell you, there is a compassionate God who forgives every sin we bring to him. Amen? That is the God that Jonah, through his experience, brings to us who live thousands of years later. A God who is full of mercy and compassion and is willing to forgive our sins. Amen.